Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The hang-ups we have today.
Welcome into episode 112 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the Growing KSR Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Today, I'm happy to be joined once again by the one and only Sean Smith of Go Big Blue Country. Sean, how the heck are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jack. How are you?
Oh, I'm just doing great. As promised, so earlier this week, we did a little episode breaking down Jalen Duren's commitment to Memphis, kind of what it means for the program. He reclassified to 2021, bunch of craziness going on there, and kind of just what, you know, Kentucky's roster is finalized for this upcoming season. So we kind of put a bow on that and, you know, kind of broke down how we got to that point, our expectations for this upcoming season. And as promised, we're going to deliver a recruiting only edition of the Sources Say podcast to get you all into the beautiful weekend that we have planned. So Sean, let's jump right into it. Kind of want to go kind of one by one of Kentucky's top targets, what the latest is with that in the class of 2022, when we could see a timeline for a commitment, those sorts of things. Sean, Shaedon Sharpe is the guy that everybody keeps talking about who, for my money, is the number one player in the class of 2022. I think he's, I think the most dynamic scorer in the class. Every time I've seen him, he just seems to keep getting better and better. I kind of compare him to a more advanced Malik Monk at this stage, which as you watch in college, Malik Monk was one hell of a player. So certainly something Kentucky fans should be excited about. Sean, just before we get into his recruitment, what do you like about Shaedon Sharpe and what his addition would mean to the program?
I think it would signal that Kentucky's back to the elite of the elite. If they're able to land Shaedon Sharpe, you know, Matt Norlander actually put out that he's the lock of all locks, right? To go to Kentucky, which you can't get any more solid than that. I mean, obviously the crystal ball, future cast, they're both trending towards Kentucky. It would be a massive pick. And to me, it would be great for him to be the first one to join Sky Clark in that class. You need to jump on the gun here with an elite prospect and kind of get that class jump started now. You kind of forget that Sky Clark's actually in that class because it happened so long ago, Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with his injury, there was some talk about, you know, is he going to be healthy, all that. And I kind of want to touch on that just a second, too, with Sky Clark here. We'll talk about that after Shaedon. But, yeah, Shaedon, I talked to dozens and dozens of people, coaches, players, parents, you know, national insiders, college coaches. I talked to a bunch of people at Peach Jam about all these kids, but especially Shaedon Sharpe, because it does feel like we're trending toward a commitment. I was first told that mid-August is when we should start looking at a commitment for Shaedon Sharpe, and I put that out there. I believe mid-July is when I first put that report out there, but we are inching closer and closer. I mean, we're right on the cusp of commitment territory. I know that I think with the people that I talked to at Peach Jam, they kind of worded it like there was a commitment time frame, not necessarily a date nailed down, but Shaedon has been wanting to commit at some point mid to late August. And I think he just did an interview with Travis Branham of 247 Sports. And he just confirmed that publicly, that late August is kind of the timeline. So everything is pointing to Kentucky. The last time I talked to his coach / AAU director at UPlay Canada, which, as a lot of you may know, brought the likes of, you know, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, some of the other top Canadian prospects in recent memory. that there's a lot of strong ties to Kentucky. I talked to Dwayne Washington, who's the director there. He said that they're trying to get Shaden to play a little bit like Jamal Murray, where he can be that 1/2 kind of dynamic, bring the ball up the floor, can run point guard a little bit, but, you know, also play pure shooting guard if need be. And Sean, where else can you go where you can become a Jamal Murray type player? How about the place that Jamal Murray came from?
Yeah, that absolutely. And you watch those recent highlight tapes of Shaden Sharp and just the way that he can get to the rim, the way that he shoots the ball, he flies above the rim. He fits that mold at Kentucky. And, man, it would be great if you can get that to jumpstart this fall period as you're moving into signing day. If you can have Shaden Sharp in your class, a guy that is pushing to be the number one player in 2022. A lot of people believe that. You believe that. I think he's right there in that top two, top three. I think he's, what, number six in the composite and number six in 247s, if I'm not mistaken. So that's a guy that's right there at the top. And I think that's the biggest thing about it with this NIL era that we've been talking about. You know, Kentucky, Jalen Duren missed out on that one. But Cal can really jumpstart this class by getting a guy that you can kind of piece your class around. In Shaden, it'd be huge for the Derek Lively's and whoever else they add to that class.
Yeah, and there was some talk. I know he did that interview with ESPN, and there was some worry where it's like, oh, you know, because he said that he was 100% wide open, was thinking about taking more visits in the fall, wanted to listen to the G League's pitch, and, you know, kind of pushing the, you know, kind of kicking the can down the street, and made a lot of fans kind of hesitant. Look, this is a player that is pushing for the number one player, you know, player in the class in terms of ranking. If you are a player with that level of branding and that level of, you know, what he's going to be, do you expect him to publicly go out there and say, yep, done deal, locked to Kentucky. All the other coaches and professional routes might as well stop recruiting me because I'm a done deal. You guys are all wasting your time. Like, of course he's going to build up some intrigue and some interest and you know, throw a little smoke screen here and there about, you know, making people not as, you know, just – assuming that it's a done deal to Kentucky. But look, you talk to people behind the scenes. John Calipari hit a home run during his official visit. He was sold on the way he was going to be using this program, sold with past Canadian players, the way that Cal has used them and kind of developed them and pushed them into the national spotlight and into the NBA as max level contract players. I was told that after this official visit that he was just absolutely done deal, sold on the Kentucky basketball program. And that's all there was to it. That UK was the overwhelming leader, and it would take a major, major, major upset for anybody else to kind of take over that top spot. So, look, until I hear anything otherwise, and if you look at the crystal ball, if you look at the future cast, Andrew Slater, who is the most well-connected individual in basketball, says that there's nothing to worry about with Kentucky, that UK is in a great spot with him. Look, just go, you know, play along. He's going to want to build some intrigue and build some hype to this, but just let this thing play out, BBN, because this is one that you should not feel worried about, and definitely one that, like I said, I think he's in the number one player in the class, and it's definitely going to be a home run for Kentucky to kind of anchor the class going into this 2022 class. Another guy that we've talked about a little bit off onto the side, Sean, Adem Bona is a player that I talked to him at MBPA Top 100 Camp. He has an official visit scheduled for the last weekend of July, of August. I believe August 28th is what he told me. This is a player that, like Shaden Sharp, is a massive, massive, massive fan of the Kentucky basketball program. This is one that I was at Pangos All-American Camp in Vegas a couple months back. And I had really not really heard of him. He came over to the States just in the last year or so, I believe in September or October. So he's very, very new to American basketball, and his name's just now getting out there. But his status as a surefire five-star is just – it's absolutely clear at this point. And I was told that when he got over to the States, one of the first schools that he kind of developed a relationship with and – became a massive fan of is Kentucky, and he's close with Sky Clark. And every time I've talked to Sky Clark's father, he's brought up Adem as like, hey, you know, they're really close. They kind of want to play together. They're feeling this out. this is one that Kentucky fans should be watching very, very closely. I know Kentucky, the Kentucky coaching staff is very high on him, think that he's just an absolute bull, you know, workhorse down low. He's one of those 6'10", 240-pound, just absolute beasts, and definitely another player that I think could anchor this class. I think he's going to end up being in that top 15, top 12-ish range in the recruiting class. And Sean, I'm a big, big fan of Odembona, and I think that he'd be a massive get for the program as well.
He would be. And bringing his name up, I actually had Brandon Jenkins of 24/7 Sports on Kentucky Daily earlier this week, and I asked him about him and possibly Derek Lively both ending up at Kentucky. He thought that Cal would obviously prefer Lively. I think we all prefer Lively in that situation. But he actually didn't rule out that both would be interested in playing together at Kentucky, and that would be massive news for that class if both those bigs are there.
Yeah, I know Derek Lively is the one that everybody has their eyes on. He's, you know, 7'2", you know, can shoot threes, block shots like he's Willie Cauley-Stein. I mean, he's, you know, super athletic. He's one of those guys that he's – there's a reason that he jumped from, you know, top 50 all the way up to top three, you know, depending on where you're looking. He's top three, could push, you know, make a push for number one. And look, you know, Derek Lively alongside Shaden Sharp, UK, there's a chance that UK could end up with both one and two. But, you know, Odembona, he's a guy that I think that this is a process that it's going to go rather quickly. I think that if Kentucky offers, and I think his camp expects to receive an offer, I've talked to, like I said, Sky Clark's dad, who they're very close with his camp, a couple other sources inside the program. There's a lot of optimism that this could be one that wraps up quickly. I don't have an official, you know, timeline for a commitment, but this is definitely one that I think could be wrapped up in the coming month maybe, especially with this official visit. This UK is the only school that he's really all that interested in. I think that this is a, if UK wants me, they're going to have me type deal, and that I want to be there. So, you know, for a player of his caliber, who I think when he first got ranked, he was ranked as high as number 5 in the country, but he's in that top 5, top 10, top 12, top 15 type range, and for a good reason. I mean, he's, you know, he's still a little bit rough around the edges offensively. Like I said, the majority of his time playing basketball has been in the FIBA scene, and, you know, he's from Turkey. He played club ball in Turkey since I think he was 13 years old. So really new to American basketball, but really, you know, not that experience in just basketball in general. He's only been playing for a couple years, but this is a dude, he might be a little rough around the edges, but he works his tail off. Imagine Oscar Tshiebwe, with, you know, a little bit longer Oscar Tshiebwe that is more of a power strength guy than, you know, Oscar Tshiebwe is kind of more, you know, he's strong, but he's not going to, he dunks on people every once in a while, but, you know, he's more, Odembona is definitely more of the power dunk on your head type dude. And definitely if you're looking for a dude that's going to block a shot into the stands and, you know, tear the rim off on a dunk, he's definitely your guy. So keep a close eye out on that as well. Another guy, Sean, that during Peach Jam, well, two really that just received offers at the conclusion of Peach Jam, Kaysen Wallace and Nick Smith. I'm curious your thoughts, because, you know, I know you've watched film on both of them and you like both of their games. It kind of feels like it's going to be a one or the other type deal. And I'm curious what you think, if you're John Calipari, who you would go after and what you kind of look for between the two of those guys.
Yeah, and I spoke with Travis Branham, and he actually said the same thing, that he thinks it's one or the other. And he leaned Kaysen Wallace, and that's the direction I'm leaning, because I think arguably Kaysen Wallace has the potential to be one of the best two-way players, not only in that class, but when he steps foot on college basketball floor, Jack, I think he has two-way player written all over. Mm-hmm. Defend on one end and offense on the other. I think he has that type of potential. I really like Nick Smith Jr. too. I thought at first it might come down to who wants that spot first. But when you have Shaden Sharp already factored in there, you kind of see Kentucky only getting one of those two. I think Kaysen Wallace will be the guy. Tennessee and Kentucky are obviously the two schools, and Texas is there as well. I just think John Calipari, I said this, I think, a few weeks ago when we recorded this podcast, that I just think Cal's going to be motivated to not let a recruit like that slip away and get to Knoxville, because that's the kind of guy you do not want to play against in the SEC is Kaysen Wallace.
Yeah, and you talk to people around the program who, during Peach Jam and while they were watching you know, watching these kids in action, you talk to the people close to the program and they're like, look, Cason Wallace, he might not be the most polished scorer. He might be a little bit rough around the edges and in various, you know, he's not a true point guard. He's not, you know, the most knockdown shooter in the class. But if you add up all of his positive traits into one, you know, one piece that what he is, it all comes down to him being a winner. He wins at every single level. He almost went undefeated throughout Peach Jam, the regular season in Peach Jam, ended up losing his last game. I think went 17-1 over the course of the 2-week span. The dude wins basketball games. He does the dirty work. He dives for loose balls. You know, he's a pest up in your grill on the perimeter. He, you know, jumps the passing lanes. He's a dude that he's going to, you know, go block your shot. He does all of the little things that make you go, wow, that's winning basketball right there. I kind of, you know, I've kind of been throwing little slight comparisons to former Kentucky players or current Kentucky players to kind of give fans a sense of what type of dudes these guys are. I look at Cason Wallace, I think a more offensively advanced version of Ashton Hagans. That same, at Ashton Hagans' best, there was not a better defender in America than him. And I think Cason Wallace has that level of potential, but he can also knock down shots. He's also capable of dunking on somebody's head. He can, you know, strong finishing ability, which is something that a lot of people complained about with Ashton Hagans. Think a more offensively well-rounded version of Ashton Hagans, which, Sean, it's really hard to get any worse than something like that. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
You know, the other thing about him too that I've watched on film, and I don't know what you got to see at Peach Jam, he's really good at chase down blocks too.
Yeah,
for his size, for a perimeter player, he's very good at that. I think the moment if he ends up at Kentucky, I think that you pencil him in as possibly one of the better defenders on the roster if he buys into doing that, regardless of where he goes. If it's Tennessee, if it's Texas, or if it's Kentucky, he has elite defender written all over him if he wants to be that. But I think he has a capable jump shot as well. He can play on and off the ball. I like his size at 6'4". I think he'd be a huge pickup. And, you know, a lot of people ask, like, why did it take Kentucky so long to offer? Well, Jack, we know this about Kentucky. They like to evaluate in person, especially coming off the season that they just had. They want to make sure that these guys are what they are in person. And Cason Wallace absolutely checked off every single box that weekend.
Yes, absolutely. And Nick Smith is the other guy. He is one of the most gifted, skilled offensive players in the class, just so silky smooth. He's comfortable bringing the ball to the floor, but, I mean, he scores at all three levels, and he's a guy that I fell in love with back at the Made Hoops event and in Midwest Mania back in Indianapolis earlier this spring. He's a dude that I know was really wanting a Kentucky offer. And every time I've talked to him, you know, leading up to the offer, I think there was a lot of frustration there about, you know, the fact that UK wasn't reaching out as much as he wanted. And the way he approached it to me is, look, I have made it clear to the Kentucky coaching staff that I would love to be in Lexington. He's a big UK fan. He's been kind of waiting for this Kentucky offer. He's been waiting for UK to put on the full court press for him. And that didn't happen. And, you know, you talk to people close to Kentucky and ask about Nick, and they're like, well, look, he didn't play. Like, he broke his left wrist and he missed 3 months of basketball. We're not going to offer a kid a scholarship without seeing him in person. And, you know, while he's rehabbing from a broken wrist, like, and it was just kind of this pushback and this little bit of tension between both sides where it was like, one was being slightly impatient. The other was frustrated about the impatience. And I think there was kind of this rift that I thought that there was a good chance that an offer wouldn't even come because of it. I thought that there was a chance that things might have gone downhill too quickly and that it just wasn't going to work out. But I think that they've smoothed things over a little bit. And I do think that if UK put on the full court press for him, I do think that UK could land him. But I also think that they're also very invested in Cason Wallace. Here's what I'm saying. I don't envision a scenario where Nick Smith comes to Kentucky as a backup option. If they put on the full court press and say, you are our guy, you know, I know UK wants to go the 3-guard lineup. I think that they're going to end up wanting to go Cason Wallace, Sky Clark, Shaedon Sharpe, you know, 1, 2, 3, versatile, all three can play all three positions. I think that's going to be their end goal, and that's kind of where I'm leaning right now. But Nick is a guy that I think that's why I come either – say either or. I don't envision a scenario where Nick Smith comes and he's a sixth, seventh, eighth man. I think he's going to want to go somewhere where he's prioritized. He feels loyalty. Every time I've talked to him, he's talked about family, loyalty, strong relationships, strong bonds. He cares about the personal stuff a lot as well. So I think these next couple months, and I know he just scheduled an official visit for that first weekend of September, and I think that could play a huge part in it as well. But that's definitely something to keep a close eye on, is how hard do they go after Cason Wallace? How hard do they go after Nick Smith? Who is the priority of those two? And it does it come down to who commits first? I would not be shocked if Cal kind of gives both of them an ultimatum and says, look, there's one spot for one of the two of you. Pick your poison. Whoever wants it takes it.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Another thing, too, that's got to be factored in, and we won't know this for a long time, is who returns off this current team in the backcourt. We know that this roster is loaded with backcourt options. I know you look at a guy like Ty Washington that people believe could be a one-and-done at Kentucky. What does Xavier Wheeler do after one season? C.J. Frederick's a guy that I think will be multiple years at Kentucky. So you kind of got to factor in that, too. But I think that this class overall – John Calipari, in my opinion, Jack, is going to want to press and have maybe 80% of this class wrapped up before they even get into the season at Kentucky. I think that he would like to have the core of it together and then see what's returning and then kind of key in on that transfer portal in the spring or maybe a late commitment or, you know, reclassifications. We know that that's always a thing in the spring too. So I think that Cal and this staff is really geared up right now to go out and prove that they're better on the court, but also prove that they're back to who they were in recruiting with Antigua joining the staff again.
Yeah, I think that's going to be absolutely crucial. And yeah, I think kind of waiting and see how this roster – I kind of go back and forth thinking, okay, is this going to be a situation where Cal goes all in on his core guys? I if you were to, you know, ask me right now who his five core guys are for this class, I'd say – Shaedon Sharp, Sky Clark, who's already committed, Shaedon Sharp, Cason Wallace, Adem Bona, and Derek Lively. I think those are Cal's five guys. And I kind of get the sense that if Cal were to push on all five of those guys, or, you know, the four guys that are uncommitted, that would be his five, and he would say, well, you know, we'll piece together the rest of the roster, you know, depending if there's a surprise transfer or a surprise player leaving for the draft, that he's going to get his core guys that he wants as the foundational pieces. Very clearly, Shaedon Sharp and Derek Lively are the two foundational pieces of that class. And shoot, I think Cason Wallace is right there too, as a foundational piece. And then just kind of piece the rest of the roster. Yeah, like you said, you know, does Xavier Wheeler leave? If, you know, they need to find a replacement there, you could find that in the transfer portal. Ty Washington, you know, I think they're going to piece together this roster with the foundational pieces that they've kind of penciled in, and you know, I think the way things are trending, you could get Shaedon locked up here soon, Adem Bona you could get locked up soon, Cason Wallace, you know, I've heard that he's going to be an early signing period type guy, so in the coming months at the very least, you know, you go down the list, you know, Derek Lively feels like the only guy that may wait, but I still think that there's a chance that he pops in the all period too.
I think so, too. I actually told somebody that the other day, that I think that Kentucky's really going to put on the full-court press there and try to get a commitment before that fall signing period. And Shaden's a guy that if you can get him soon, like we all expect, like, Jack, I think it's entirely possible to maybe be on commitment watch the rest of this month. I mean, it's trending that way. And then surely into September, he makes a decision with where he's at right now. But if you can get him in that class with Sky, then you've really jump-started it, and you've got an elite talent in that class that others want to play with, and I think that would be big. And we know how Cal goes on these runs and these heaters, He usually does it in the spring when it comes to the transfer portal and commitments, reclassifications, things like that. We also know that he can turn the heat on and go a string of commitments, two or three within a 7 to 10 day period. It would be interesting to see what happens if Kentucky can get sharp. You know, Sky Clark has come out and told Sports Illustrated recently that to be on commitment watch for multiple guys. Well, is Sharp the first one, and then who follows?
If you were to make me bet on it, I'd say those two players that he were talking about were Shaedon Sharpe and Ademola. We'll just leave that at that.
Yep.
We wanted to make this a very, very quick episode. So, Sean, let's get out of here with these very two quick things. Derek Lively, we've talked about him a bunch throughout this episode. I still think things are a little bit quiet in terms of, you know, contact and all that. I think that he's kind of in this little kind of waiting period where things are going to be moving a lot behind the scenes, but he's still taking, you know, calls and you know, regular contact with the coaching staff. I still think Kentucky's in a phenomenal spot. I think that they are battling back and forth with the two other blue bloods, Duke and North Carolina. I know that Penn State, there's a connection. His mother, Kathy, works with the marketing department of Penn State. So, and it's, you know, kind of a local school for him. So that's another school to kind of keep a loose eye on. But I do think as of right now, Kentucky's very, very much in the picture, very much in strong contention there. Like I said, I do think that he's talking about maybe waiting until the spring, but I think when push comes to shove that this could be something that wraps up here in the fall. And then I did want to just get one last update talking to Sky Clark's dad. He is apparently very much ahead of schedule on his torn ACL that he had surgery on. Apparently he's already, you know, very making a lot of, you know, movements and motions and kind of slight jogs and, you know, those sorts of things that are things that you wouldn't get until several months into a procedure, you know, after a procedure that he just got done. So that's definitely a very positive. All signs are pointing toward him playing this high school season at Montverde, that there's expectation that he could play, you know, some point mid January or so, I think is kind of, I talked to his coach in Montverde as well, that's kind of the expectation there. And I think that his dad kind of feels the same way. So there's a lot of optimism about him returning back to form. And, you know, if there were any concerns about Sky not being the player that Cal recruited him to be and, you know, not returning back to form, I think that all signs are pointing to a full speedy recovery, and probably a lot more advanced and returning a lot faster than I think even doctors anticipated. Things are going extremely well. So I just wanted to add that in here to close out the show, that things are definitely going, trending in the right direction with Sky Clark and his health, Sean.
Yeah, I talked to Kenny recently too, and he was talking about Sky's comeback is going to be really, really good. He said it's going to be great. So there's some excitement there, obviously, to get back on the floor. But one more note on Lively. So you think that Shaedon Sharpe is the top player in this class, but Derek Lively is your favorite player in this class. So that tells you a lot about Derek Lively and Shaedon Sharpe and how good both of those guys are. If you think Shaden's number one, but Lively's also my favorite. And a lot of it is, Jack, I think that he has so much untapped potential to his game that we really don't even know how good he can actually be.
Yeah. Yeah, Derek.
When he puts that together, it's going to be fun. If it comes in collegiate basketball, if it comes in pro basketball, whenever he puts that together, the rim running at his size, I mean, he can put one four rows into the stands and then run to the other rim and cram on your head. That's Derek Lively.
Well, and you talk to people close to the Kentucky staff, and you ask, you know, they offered Kyle Filipowski, and there was a question, why go all in on him when you know he's a lock for Duke? And, you know, in hindsight, probably not a great decision by the staff to even explore that option, but I do know that they were very high on him. They just wanted to get him on campus, hoping that a visit could potentially change things. They knew that he was trending toward Duke. They knew that he was going to be an early signing period guy. That was just kind of a last ditch. Let's see if we can, you know, let's offer a scholarship. Let's see if we can get him on campus, and let's see if we can shake things up, because they're very high on him, and unfortunately he's now at Duke, which – really sucks, but
ended up being a bad PR move by UK.
I completely agree.
If you offer and then you get turned down to Duke within 7 days when you kind of just could have not offered. So yeah, but he's a talented guy, very talented player.
Yeah, I completely agree. But you ask, you know, the difference. Why Kyle Phil? You know, is it a Kyle Filipowski versus Derek Lively? Is it, you know, one, you know, add in a Dembona? Is it, you know, two of the three? You know, are there two favorites? I got the sense that it was we're going after all three and we want two of them. It doesn't matter which two. You know, they think Kyle Filipowski is the most advanced of the three in terms of what they're going to give you immediately at the college level. That's why they wanted him. They think that Derek Lively has the highest ceiling out of all three of those guys. And like you said, I think when he, you know, when he becomes an NBA player, the sky is the limit there. But they also think Dembona is going to be a guy that he's going to be an immediate 10 and 10 type dude, where he's going to, you know, block shots. He's going to dunk on your head. He's going to grab a ton of rebounds. He works his butt off, sets hard screens, kind of does a lot of the little things as well. So really it's kind of a pick your poison type deal, right, Sean? Like there's a, you know, it's kind of a, what do you like most? What do you think will translate better to the college level? They loved all three of those guys, and it's very clear that now that Kyle Filipowski is no longer on the table, that they're going all in on these last two. And there's a reason that guys like Vince Iwuchukwu, who UK was kind of flirting with there for a little while, that UK cut ties with him, they hadn't talked to him for a month. He now just dropped his top five, and he's headed elsewhere. Some of the other top guys, UK is not even sniffing at, because they have found their two guys in the front court, and that's who they're going after. So that's kind of why, if you were to ask from my dream class from UK's perspective right now, I think you're going Derek Lively, you're going Dembona, you're going Shaedon Sharpe, you're going Cason Wallace, and then rounding it out with Sky Clark, who's already committed. And I think that's one hell of a class, Sean.
It is. And if they can get this thing to, let's say, 3 to 4 signees in that early period, it would be a huge win. So we're thinking Shaedon Sharpe and Sky Clark for sure. And if you could get a Cason Wallace or a Derek Lively, one of the two, to be locked in by the time you get to November, that'd be massive. Four would be huge, but I think three should be the realistic goal.
Yeah, and I think that's one heck of a way to start it, and I think it's very realistic. I think that here in these next couple weeks, we're going to start getting – the ball moving, and things are things are trending in the right direction, most certainly, Sean. And with that, let's go ahead and wrap up and get out of here. I know that you have some stuff to do. I have stuff to do as well. So we'll call it a show there. Sean, where can fans find your work?
You can find my work at GoBigBlueCountry.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at GBBCountry.
You can find me on Twitter at JackPilgrimKSR. Reach out to me via email at JPilgrim@KentuckySportsRadio.com. With that, we'll be back next time for another jam-packed Source of Say podcast. We will see you then.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.